Good morning, SEC. Let's get that caffeine rolling. It's Thursday. I think my favorite comment so far is it's Friday Eve, fam. That is absolutely right. We are one day closer to the weekend, but the news just keeps flowing in. I honestly go throughout my day and I'm saying, I hope I have enough content to put out here for the cousins. And then I get tagged in this, I get tagged in that, and I appreciate y'all tagging me because you are our executive producer. I probably should have said, can you see me? Can you hear me? I probably should have started with that one. And as the news grows, next thing I know, I'm like, can I fit all this in 30 minutes? We got a lot to talk about today. We talk about coaches getting fired in the SEC. We're going to be talking about injuries. We're going to be talking about I just got to get to it. But more importantly, we're going to get to the phone lines, and I appreciate everybody that send in the voicemails. I should have that in the show notes. So if you want to be a part of the show, you got a question, you got something you want to talk about, you want to get off your chest, that's what it's for. It's a hotline. We're going to be putting this out during the season as well, you know, because hey, it's always exciting after a big win. But sometimes after a loss, you want to get it off your chest. So that's what we're going to do here. This is a family show. And speaking of family, isn't it unique? Isn't it funny that this show, even though it's 7:30 in the morning, is always on time? So SEC Mike, ball's in your court. But before we get going, I want to remind the cousins who we're brought to you by. And that's MyBookie. You want to help the show grow? Jump on MyBookie. Get some free money. That's right. Promo code SEC. Whenever you sign up, they will give you 100% deposit match guarantee. This is the money you play with, boys and girls. All right? You don't play with your money. You play with MyBookie's money. So get on there, punch in that promo code. We got some bets coming up this year, and some of these numbers are getting skewed. You know, we're in that time frame where you're praying nobody gets hurt. You're praying nobody gets arrested. You're praying. I mean, that's kind of the window we're in right now. So without further ado, let's get to the comment section. You know, something I got to get better at here. So I want to give everybody a shout out. Jordan, let's go. Dang, Kyle. You're probably right. Dude, these mornings, it is not easy. But Gingham Shane, stay off the bandwagon. Let's get the reverse jinx. Absolutely, man. I have anticipated. Most people are mad. They're pissed that you don't talk about them, or you got somebody too high, you know, or not high enough, basically. And then Texas A&M, they get it. They get me. Whenever I'm on the A&M bandwagon, Jimbo Fisher, which is now a commentator, I probably should have brought that up yesterday, but then they fall off. So I'm off, so probably going to have some success here. All right, so let's get to this. Before we get going, let's do a little I saw this clip yesterday, and I just thought it was kind of funny. Everybody knows Justin Jefferson, absolute dog. But you know he's not a fan of him? Tyreek Hill.
My sons, They be on my head. They be like, "Dad, Justin Jefferson, dog." My kids are like Justin Jefferson fanatics, so they really enjoy Justin Jefferson a lot. So, I was talking to my son on FaceTime last night, and his mom told me, she was like, "Oh yeah, one of the kids came up to him and was like, 'Hey, you Tyreek Hill's son?'" He was like, "Nah, Justin Jefferson, my dad."
I'm like,
so I got him on FaceTime. I'm like, "So Justin Jefferson is your dad?" He was like, "Nah, Dad." I was like, "Well, tell Justin Jefferson to take your ass to Disney World.
Take your ass to Disney World." Oh, man. I love college football, but also NFL starting to show up to camps here. And, you know, you could sense it. Speaking of, I think just a reminder, I think August 5th is when the SEC show is going to debut on Netflix. So be sure to check that out. You talk about getting you pumped up. We had the ability to watch the first episode. Brothers, sisters, I'm telling you right now, this is going to galvanize your love for college football. SEC Mike is in it, so be sure to give him some love or just give him some shit, to be honest with you, when he comes out. I mean, that head can't get any bigger. Now that he's on Netflix, he may start his own show. All right, let's get to bad news. Early blow to the Ole Miss offense. Luke Haas' Rebel debut will be at least delayed. Some folks are talking about the number two tight end possibly coming back later this year. This is the second year he's got banged up. If you're not familiar with Luke, this is part of the three-headed monster that left Arkansas, went to Ole Miss. Appreciate cousin Brandon Riley for giving me the scoop. In the article here, it talks about Luke Haas recently suffered a right ankle injury, expected to keep him sidelined for majority of 2025 season. You know, and I, honestly, this is one of those kids that keeps coming up on the who's going to take that next step. Pun not intended, obviously. But what I'm saying is, who's the guy that is going to elevate his game? This is one that has unlocked potential. And I felt like with Austin, you know, kind of taking over the reins, him and Wright could have been a good safety valve for him. I was, you know, because Lane has a tendency to do that. Take what is his talent, which I thought that tight end room was loaded, and be the focal piece. But unfortunately, they will not be able to get him, use him this year. Now, who else may not get to play football this year because he's missing is Boo Carter. Adam Sparks posted this the other day. Nice article. Tennessee standout Boo Carter. I've talked about him last few days here. Missed numerous team activities and was confronted by team leaders because of his absence. Could this escalate like the Nico situation? Inside the article here, it talks about Carter's status with the Vols is uncertain. Knox News has learned that Carter missed numerous team activities and was confronted by team leaders for his absence. UT declined to comment, but Josh Heupel is expected to address Carter's status UT on UT campus July 29th if it hasn't been resolved by then. Preseason practice begins July 30th. Carter is not available for comment. Rumor says he was out in California. So I don't know if the Nico was a kind of a joke there, but yeah, this is a guy that was going to be a huge piece of Tennessee's defense. This is a guy that, hell, even the offense, they were talking about this was a guy that wanted to play both ways. I feel like Tennessee camp is trying to make this work. And Boo, if you're listening, brother, again, we forgive you. Come home. We'll get this straightened out. So we've still got some chirping up north. These crybabies up here on the podium, I absolutely love it. This is a guy that I am not a fan of. I think he still has me blocked on Twitter, but had some interesting comments. First off, Big Ten over in Vegas Media Days.
I think having the Big Ten Media Days in Big Ten country is important. The majority of our teams are not on the West Coast. Do we have a West Coast influence now? Do we need to pay respect to those programs? Yes. But I know for like Penn State perspective, a lot of our beat writers did not come to this because they couldn't afford to get out here. And the majority of our teams are near Chicago, where this used to always be. The majority of our teams are near Indianapolis, where this used to be. And it creates a different environment. I walk around the lobby. I don't see any signage. I don't see anything for the Big Ten. I don't see people getting autographs. I don't see it's a different vibe and it's a different feeling. I think that other conference, when they have their meetings, there's essentially a press conference every single day at the end of the meetings. It keeps people talking about that conference at a time of the year and makes them relevant. We're not doing that.
Oh, is somebody hurt? Is somebody's feelings hurt? Get the hell out of here. You guys are the ones that decided to expand across the country, and now Vegas is too far? Hell, y'all got games further west than that. So don't give me this shit about Vegas ain't fair. Yeah, I wish SEC Media Days was Vegas. And I guarantee if it was, that place would be absolutely loaded because why? It means more. You know what else means more? cousin JR coming through, waking up early. Appreciate you helping out, gifting a football membership. Who do we got here? Who did JR bless? Jared Addison, come on back to the family. If he was gone for a while, we let him come back. Thanks to cousin JR, he has forgiven him. So membership, I appreciate you. And Jared, welcome back to the family. Oh my gosh, wait, we got one more from the crybaby. Let's get it. I thought about speeding it up because I think one times is just not fast enough for him, but this one right here, get ready.
Have the ability to build our programs the way we see best. Coach has the ability to build his program how he thinks best, and we have the ability to do that at Penn State as well. The thing that I struggle with is the same thing I've been talking about for a long time, and this doesn't change. Everybody has to play the same number of conference games. Like, this ain't that hard, right? Everybody should be playing 8, or everybody should be playing 9. I was in that other conference when the whole discussion about going to 9 games was voted on.
Should be going to 9. That's what would fix everything, is giving SEC one additional SEC opponent. Is it? Is that, would that fix college football playoffs? Would that fix? No. This is the kids crying up north saying, hey, it's not fair, yet never taking a strong look at their schedule. We had old Sig out here yesterday talking about the non-conference games. And, hey, I want to show you something here. Our buddy Chris Marler, you're going to love this graphic, came out with a graphic. I thought it was awesome. Future schedules. Got Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina, Florida, and Texas, and Indiana highlighted here. And it's going to talk about the next 5 to 10 years. Who are the opponents that Alabama or SEC teams are going to face? And if you'll notice, wide margin here. I'm seeing teams like Ohio State. I'm seeing teams like Clemson, Virginia Tech, Miami. These are teams that are flirting with college football playoff expectations at this moment, and the SEC has them scheduled. You know who Indiana has scheduled the next 5 years? Zero. Power Four opponents, 0 road games, 4 FCS opponents. 2 of their 7 FBS opponents have winning records in the daunting Big Ten scheduling. Look at Alabama here. This is Alabama. This is their schedule this year. They got Florida State. They got Wisconsin. Some are saying Wisconsin is one of the better teams in the Big Ten. Guess what? We may have 8 games here, but Alabama is playing 10 opponents that could potentially have a winning record by the end of the season. Oh, but let's talk about ULM. Let's talk about Louisiana Monroe and how bad the SEC scheduling problems is. Get the hell out of here. Speaking of Alabama, you may remember this name. You may remember this comment. There's a quarterback down in Florida State that made the interesting comments about that week 1 matchup. Says they don't have Saban to save them this time. Well, old Thomas came out here and said, hey, listen. I stay on what I said. I'm good with that. But, I mean, no disrespect to those guys in Alabama. Too late. It's on the board. It's out of your mouth. Florida State gonna get that ass beat by Alabama week 1. You gotta be careful who you're talking about. And I don't care if Saban's down there or not. Alabama is using this as fuel for the next 34 days. So they will be looking for you, Thomas. Who names their kid Thomas anymore? All right. This is sad news. Oh, Rev. Got some bad news down there in College Station. Article came out today. Little update. Our little doggy is banged up. Apparently had some cloudiness in her right eye. Sadly, the issue progressed during surgery. They noticed some tissue that needed to be removed and ultimately Miss Rev will have one eye this year. So thoughts and prayers for the Rev family. Let's go over here. This one came out late yesterday. Hell, Mike didn't even tag me in it. Ain't that something? I had to go find it myself. But this is the theme of the show. Which coach in the SEC will get fired first? As I'm going in the comment section, please put who you think will be the first coach fired in this conference. This is the list. This is first Power Four coach fired odds by Bet Online. So you can make, if you want to make money off this, this is the time. If you think any of these coaches will be fired first, now's the time to do it. And for those guys listening, girls listening, Brent Venables, 6-1, is number one. Sam, 7-1. Hugh Freeze, 8-1. Billy Napier, 12-1. Mark Stoops, 20-1. Jeff Lebby, 25-1. Coach Lee, 40-1. DeBoer, 45. Elko, 50. Brian, 60-1. And Drink, 80-1. Any surprises on this list? I think there's a few for me. I honestly, I'm surprised Brent's first. I would not have him. This is a Sam Pittman-led campaign, it felt like, the last 3 years. I expected no one else other than Sam Pittman here. Hugh Freeze, a little higher. I know Mike would can his ass tomorrow, but Hugh Freeze, I feel like that one's kind of a surprise. Billy Napier, I'd probably move him up a little bit just because you know how bad I hate the Florida Gators. Jeff Lebby is the other one. I think Jeff Lebby is the interest for me, not telling you what to do, but I think that Jeff Lebby one is very, very interesting because they've already fired a coach at Mississippi State after 1 year. Why not 2 years? Especially if they don't win an SEC game. If you're at any SEC school and you do not have an SEC win in 2 years, I think we got to take a look. And yes, I know the portal, and I know the first year it's kind of skewed, but that's the one I got my eyes on here because it's not accepted. So let's see what you guys think here. All right, we're going to go up to the top. Let's see here. Freeze. Jordan thinks Freeze will be fired. Napier from Justin. Pittman gone. Hugh Freeze. Getting a lot of Billies in here. Pittman, easy. Not even close. Hugh. Stoops. Stoops is an interesting one. I just do not think. We haven't posted this one yet, and probably that's why I'm a little bit on this side. We got some Kentucky guys coming in, and both of them, you know, Adam and Roush. After the conversations we had, I'm not sure Kentucky can afford to lose. I feel like Stoops, even though probably should be the top one on this board, I think they're stuck with him for a little while. Billy gone. Billy or Sam. Man, well, Brian Kelly, there's a good one. Brian Kelly has good odds, and I couldn't disagree. Brian Kelly's an interesting one because I heard, and I don't know if this is true, that's me. I hear something, I'm like, it could be true. It could be true that they have a clause right now where they can get out of Coach Kelly's contract. Again, I'm not an expert. I'm not a lawyer. Hopefully I don't get sued for saying this, so I'm going to just put this little asterisk by it. I have no idea and probably not going to happen. But if that is the case, it would make sense why he's putting his own money into recruiting. It would make sense all the conversations he's made in the offseason as this is our year, this is the championship, maybe because his ass is against the wall. So that may be the best bet on the board. All right. So that's pretty much all the news I got. And like I said, if you got news, if you got a list, a stupid list that you see floating around, be sure to tag me. I'll give you a shout out on the show. I appreciate everybody that's helped out. If you want to help out too, you can also jump on the phone lines and let's go to the phones.
Hey, Cousin Shane, I just wanted to ask, what are your top five football stadiums in the SEC that you would want to play in as a player?
Great, great question. And interesting wording. I mean, because as a fan, there's a lot of stadiums I'd like to attend. But as a player, I want to go to the least favorite. Why? It's quieter, smaller, less noise. I mean, as a player, that's the kind of game I want to go to. So, probably not the way you wanted it, but I'm going to give you the five worst ones. Number five, let's go down to Ole Miss. Again, I understand the Grove. I know the love, but you're coming in there as a player. This is where I want to go. I hate cowbells, especially if they're going against you. But how loaded is the stadium going to be late November? I think you're going to be at half capacity here. Gimme State at 4, Arkansas at 3, Kroger Field at 2, and the newly renovated, the beautiful stadium, Vanderbilt. Now, this one I may change if the coaches let us get out, because I mean it is in Nashville, but I think that's the correct list. Is you may disagree, but you know it's my list. I'm the player. All right, let's go to Cousin Jesse calling in for a question.
How long do you think it will be before a player sues the NCAA to try to get drafted earlier than expected? 3 years. What if they say they want to get drafted after their sophomore season? What's the chances on them suing the NCAA and winning the case? And that starts to be a thing. Players only, like good players, only stay in the system 2 years instead of three. I think it's coming. Just like all these transfers and everything else, NIL, college football is changing rapidly. Just what do you think about that? Thanks.
You don't think I'm at Planet Fitness Liquid Flames? I'll tell you this. I have signed up and canceled there twice now. I think I've joined. I make a joke. We're now members of National Fitness, and I've been there twice to do paperwork, and I haven't been back. I know it's sad. It's pathetic. If I could take the money that I've invested in that and put it toward this show, my camera wouldn't be wobbling as much as it is. So, hey, great question. Well, interesting question, you know, because if I feel like that's the world we live in now, because if it ain't right, we sue. And I hate that, because there was an example. There's a place over here in Pigeon Forge, and I'm not a sponsor. I don't know if I'd recommend it because I've heard it's expensive. But basically, they got these large tools that you can move dirt around, and they got this tractor, and it was pulling these kids and stuff like that. And I thought, hey, man, that's awesome. But then in the back of my mind, I kept saying, you know, I bet there's a lot of paperwork to operate something like that. I bet there's a lot of paperwork to pull kids. Like, think about it, a lawnmower pulling a wagon full of kids. You would think 20 years ago, you could just do it. And I'm not trying to get old man, damn the whippersnappers, but I feel like now everybody's afraid to do that because you're going to end up getting sued over it. So it's inevitable. It's going to happen in college football as well. Any rule they come out with, there's going to be three lawsuits going against. It's just the nature of this right now. And unfortunately, I miss the days when I worried about two things. Is my guys going to stay safe and healthy? And is my guy going to get caught with drugs? That's I miss those days. I mean, I don't want anybody to get caught with drugs, but that was like that was worst case scenario. Somebody gets off the team. So yeah. Appreciate the question. Let's see. I got two more and then we'll close it out here. Let's go to Arkansas. Cousin Bryce.
Hey buddy, what's going on? Good morning, cousins. All on the way to work this morning. Cousin Shane, I'd just like to know why the University of Arkansas administration, athletic department, all the boosters gave up on Arkansas football. Thank you, cuz. Love the show.
Well, it's a bad bet. I mean, honestly, it is a bad bet right now. We just dropped a couple episodes. One being Peter Burns. First time we had Peter Burns in the studio, we were talking about Vanderbilt. And we were I asked the same question, you know, with all this revenue and stuff, what would be your first approach to make your program better as an athletic director? He said, I'd attack the basketball team. Less people, less players, more money allocated to that specific team, easier to rebuild. And I thought that was that made sense. And right now, we're going into year three, and year three we're talking about the hottest seat and Sam Pittman's on top of. Now, as much as I love Sam Pittman, it's a bad bet. Why would I give my money to a program that may not have a coach? I'm going to save my money so that when we have success, we can go in. So that's usually what you see. And I know there's tiers to this thing. To act like there's not tiers, we're just fooling ourselves. Ohio State, Texas, these teams, they're in a different level than Arkansas right now. However, if you have on-field success, which they could, then all of a sudden it catches fire and people want to be a part of it. Then again, Arkansas becomes a good bet. So right now, these multi-millionaire billionaires are sitting around saying, you know what, we're going to wait. Wait. You'll notice we just talked about coaches getting fired. There may not be any coaches fired because we're in this transition. But once this transition comes to an end, you're going to watch a few things. Players are going to get more money. Coaches are going to get less. When that happens, buyouts get less. Firing becomes easier. So right now, it's tough. It's just a bad bet. Last but not least, and I appreciate all the cousins hanging out with us today, this one's going to be coming all the way from my backyard, Tennessee. Cousin Sam.
Hey, Cousin Shane. This is Cousin Sam down here in Chattanooga. I think I have a pretty decent bold take for you, and I tried to take my orange-shaded glasses off for Tennessee as much as possible, but it feels like everybody's just been so doom and gloom, and everything's been so, oh, poor Tennessee, they're just going to be awful, you know, pick ninth in the SEC after media days. I just don't see how Tennessee is going to fall off the map. You know, we're not talking about Kentucky here. We're talking about the Tennessee Volunteers. And so I have kind of a bold take that I think Tennessee finishes 10-2 on the year. I think they have a decently easy schedule. I do see them struggling on the road some, especially in Gainesville and Tuscaloosa. But I think that they beat Georgia at home. So I think that's my bold take for the show. Appreciate it. Love what y'all do. Go Vols.
Bold take indeed. Trust me, I don't think there's anybody on this show that would want Tennessee to beat Georgia, but it's early in the season. I think that's the kicker for me. Later in the year, possibly, because whether you're on the Aguilar camp or not, we'll know by the time we get to that matchup. Unfortunately, I got the schedule here. Tennessee, first three games kind of scare me a little bit. Not so much the second one, as much as I love ETSU and going up there. But Syracuse, can't sleep on them, man. This is a team that, let's not forget, knocked Miami out of college football playoffs last year. Georgia Bulldogs, week three, very, very tough opponent. Obviously, my favorite to win the SEC this year. So if you trip up on two of those games, I think Tennessee's screwed for the rest of the season. If you screw up on one, I think you're fine. Georgia Bulldogs, you're looking at this. I've said this before, and I'm not hiding from it. Tennessee has a very, very favorable schedule. For those listening, Syracuse, ETSU, Georgia, probably a loss, UAB, Mississippi State, Arkansas, up to Alabama. Are you, I mean, even with the Boo Carter situation, even with the quarterback situation, I probably have Tennessee a favorite in all those games. Going into the Bama game, which they've beaten several times, two out of the last 3 years, I believe. I mean, I'm not saying that you beat Alabama, but let's say you drop that one on the road, Kentucky, Oklahoma, New Mexico, Florida, Vanderbilt. There's tiers to this thing. I'm not worried about Kentucky. I'm not worried about Vanderbilt. And I'm not worried about New Mexico State. Now, obviously, I should be worried if something happens, but it comes down to me, Oklahoma and Florida. So those are your two games. Beat Oklahoma, beat Florida, you're in. Lose them both, you're out. So can Tennessee have a good season, a great season? Absolutely. Josh Heupel's shown me, I mean, he's took, we didn't know, and I can say Hendon Hooker as much as I want on the show, we didn't know Hendon Hooker until Josh Heupel found him and created something special. So I have all my, I don't even know, my coffee's wearing off, but you know what I'm saying. I have nothing but respect for the man. I know that he'll get the job done, and I know I'm going over my 30-minute mark. So before I get out of here, any good comments? Let's go ahead and close it out. And I appreciate everybody hanging out. Appreciate the thumbs up. If you could give a thumbs up, you don't have to become a cousin, but if you give a thumbs up on YouTube, it does help. Appreciate y'all spreading the word. After that, I think that's, I've got to go. I've got a tea time I've got to get to. So till tomorrow, go Vols.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.